Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Justine Rotolo, also known as Miss ADD. I want to welcome everyone to the program. I also want to wish everybody a happy Memorial Day, and I want to thank all of our armed service men and women who are out there keeping us safe, how much I appreciate everything that you do. I have a nephew who was in the Navy active duty for a while, and now he's in the reserve. Wonderful guy. My uncle was also in World War II and the Korean War, so I'm sure a lot of you listening have people who have been in the Army or in the Army or Navy or Marines or Air Force. We just love all of you. So today on the program, we have Jeff Emerson. Jeff's a great guy. In fact, my very good friend, Tom Nardone, who was on my program probably about 3 weeks ago with his wife. That was a lot of fun. He Facebooked me and let me know all about Jeff, and I was able to get on and look at his adult ADHD blog, and he also has a private Facebook page. He's an author. He also has a very successful Twitter. I want his secret because he has 20,000 followers, which is great, and he's from Calgary, Canada. But before I bring Jeff on, I just want to make a few announcements. For those of you in the Los Angeles area, every Wednesday night I run an adult support group for CHAD, Children and Adults with ADD. It's a nonprofit organization. It's a wonderful group. We have a lot of growth going on in that group and a lot of love and acceptance. And we would really love anybody who's in the listening area to come and join us. It's located 2785 Pacific Coast Highway in Torrance, California. It's the Center for Learning Unlimited, and it's Wednesday nights from 7:30 to 9. Last week, I spoke in West L.A., in Culver City, at the chapter of CHAD on that side, and we had a decent turnout, and we had a lot of fun talking about mindfulness and ADHD, so everybody there was very interested in me running a support group on that side, which is going to start in June. It's going to be the last Thursday in June that we start from 7:30 to 9. This group, though, is only going to go through the end of August. So when I have more information from the people who own the facility as to exactly what's happening, I will Facebook it, put it on my website, and get it out so everybody can find out more about it for those of you who it might be closer for you to come on the west side. So let's get Jeff on the line. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how are you, Justine?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I was looking forward to this call for sure from way up here in Canada where, you know, it's a little bit colder usually than where you guys are.
how cold is it up there?
Yeah. Well, it's not, you know what, today is, it's mixed weather up here, so I'm going to guess maybe 12 or 13 degrees Celsius, so I'm not sure offhand what that is in Fahrenheit. So
I don't either. We're ADD. How would we know that?
Yeah, it's a given, right? Yeah.
Right, right.
But I would like to say happy, or I'm not sure if that's the right term, but I'm sending everyone my very best for Memorial Day as well.
Yeah, thank you.
As a Canadian, even, you know, much respect to everyone out there.
Yes.
Thank you for everyone who's listening. So, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, because it's a wonderful, they really are wonderful people, and your armed service as well. I mean, they all keep everybody safe, which is wonderful.
That's right.
So, Jeff, I'm really impressed with what you do and who you are because I get to spend some time with you on the phone a couple of weeks ago. Mm. And so I wanted you to start off by just, if you would, kind of tell everybody your story, because I think what I've noticed is that people love people who have ADHD and are adult and they're kind of floundering a little bit, I guess you could say, and maybe feeling a little negative. They love to hear stories of people who have worked through a lot of things. We all struggle, you know, most of the time, every day with some of the negative symptoms, but if you could share your story, I think that would be powerful.
Yeah, I'm not sure where to start. And as you can imagine, you know, sometimes I go off in a tangent. We're never known
That's
to
okay.
do that, though, right? But, yeah, I was thinking actually really quick. I was thinking on how to approach this because I know we've spoken before.
Right.
And I certainly respect, yeah, and as you know, I respect your immense background with this. And I'm the new kid here who's, you know, trying to really help people. But I'm still learning myself. So as I, to start it off or preface it, I want to say that I'm by no means an expert or a guru. I don't like that term personally. But what I'm doing is, just putting everything out there, even when it's involved going to jail, suicide attempts, my brother's death, and all this other grim-sounding stuff. Yeah.
Right.
But there
right.
is a lot. Yeah, I realize there's a whole other flip side of the coin, of course. And that's with, you know, people like yourself, like yourself, like Dr. Ed Halliwell, other notable, you know, people who have ADHD or ADD, whichever you choose to call it, who are successful. Yeah. So there, make no mistake, even though there is a fair bit of challenge and battling and struggle in my blog and my story, the ultimate point of it all is to inspire, and it's helping me at the same time, frankly, you know, with the support of everyone who's reaching out. Like Tom Nardone has been immense. He's been huge.
He's great.
In this, and
he's so funny. See, and I really do think you feel this way too. What I love about Tom, and I, growing up in New York, I have a similar, even though he and I are from different places, but similar kind of way of comedian kind of thing and sarcasm, I guess you could say. But we just kind of connected very quickly, and a couple of weeks ago I had he and his wife on. And just he looks at life the same way that I look at life, as I'm sure you do too. And that is, I like to look at the positive side because, I mean, there are plenty of negatives that happen day in and day out. But if you can laugh at yourself and laugh at things that happen, you really add a number of years to your life.
I absolutely agree. You know what, you're bang on with that. And that's been a huge challenge for me with being, as many would say, Mr. Serious, and coming from that sort of, the tortured poet sort of, if you will, to throw out a term. You know, one of the...
I like that.
My sister... I was going to say, well, I know I just threw it out there. It's sort of corny, but my sister is the type. thank you. I'm glad somebody does. You're the one. All right. Well, my sister is like that, where she's maybe not the same. I don't mean it that way, but where she's less emotional than I am, for sure. She's just like, you know, let's go go and do stuff and achieve, but stay away from the emotion. Not that that's you by any means. But I'm more the sentimental fool type, if you will, the real existentialist, if you will, like a deep thinker.
I like that. I like that because you know what? That really speaks to your creative mindset, which really goes hand in hand with ADD. It's amazing.
And you know, I wonder how many, you know, I can only imagine, as I'm sure you would know a lot more, how many professional musicians, how many well-known people in society have this and either are afraid to talk about it or don't know it or are just not interested maybe in bringing it up, which I can understand.
It's interesting you should bring that up because my book, and I think I told you about my book, what it does is I put it together and I wrote the first chapter, but the rest of the book is a breakout of musicians and actors and filmmakers and all these different people, entrepreneurs and writers and politicians and that have been very, very successful. And I don't know whether or not they know they have ADD, but they were listed 3 times on the internet, and that's why they were put in the book. But the interesting thing is you're absolutely right because my husband's in the entertainment industry, and when we're around those people, he's got my cards ready. But most of them go, I'm not ADD.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
What do they say? It's upwards roughly of 85% of adults in the U.S. who don't even realize they have it, apparently. you know, so I think we're onto something here, Justine.
I think we are too. And thank God I live in Southern California, because maybe I can really help all those people that you know, are very, very successful when it comes to what they do, but in their private lives, they may truly be struggling with some things that they need some help with. So let's get to you now.
Yeah.
Just start off, when were you diagnosed? Tell us that.
Right, getting back. Yeah, my story, you would ask. I was diagnosed, I'm about to be 38 shortly, but I was diagnosed back when I was 35 in 2011.
Okay.
And that was after, as I say a lot in the blog, to try and reach people, because I don't know when people are searching and find my blog, let's say through Google, for instance.
Right.
And like, my wife's very into search engine optimization, and we know all about that stuff. So it's important to get, you know, targeted traffic, of course, to help hit the proper target audience. But when people are searching, I don't know which page or which post they're going to find of mine. So that's why you'll notice I post a lot about certain things, like the connection between suicide and ADHD, for instance, from my own experience and the comorbid, you know. But, getting back to the point, though, I was 35 when I was diagnosed.
Okay. Now, was this after your attempted suicide?
It was. I try not to go into too much detail, but my wife was upstairs on the third floor, and I was in the basement, and made the attempt, but I couldn't quite follow through. Something kept me from it, and my brother had just done it a couple of years before.
Okay.
I think it was three years, but it felt like, anyway, yeah.
So if you, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. I have so much empathy for what you've been through, but I do have to tell you this, being a therapist?
Yes.
There's a depression side to this. See, there isn't a lot of suicide attempts with ADHD unless there are co-occurring disorders. ADHD on its own is a gift. You and I talked about this. But when you have those co-occurring, so a lot of suicide attempts occur in bipolar disorder and also in major depression. You really have to be at that point in your life where you're saying, I just don't want to live anymore. And I just want to separate that out because there are people who have ADHD, and I don't want them to think that this is one of the things that goes hand in hand with it, unless you have that co-occurring disorder that goes with it, which can either be major depression.
I was going to say, I have a view on it, and I certainly respect that, because obviously there are people. I'm not saying everyone has that.
Right.
The thing is, for me, Justine, the very nature of my mind drove me to that eventually.
Right.
So it's logical, the correlation. At the same time, we have to be careful. It's almost like anxiety disorders with ADHD.
Right.
A majority, or at least, you know, a significant number, as much as people could be gifted with just ADD or ADHD, and it appears that they are. I haven't seen the academic research. I would love to.
Right.
But obviously people, you know, we know the entertainment industry and others, you know, not naive by any means. But we have to be so careful. And I take that stance personally. Again, that's my niche a little bit, not just the depression side, but the inspirational story.
Well, let me tell you something.
Thoughts
you talk about that ruminate all the time in your head? Like, I think I saw a post the other day on Facebook. You know, those kind of constant ruminations that go on can very much be related to those co-occurring disorders. And I know that people with ADHD have thoughts, but to the level of thoughts is when you start to think, like, okay, what else is going on here? Because when it's that...
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. I personally had somebody who came into me who has, I can't believe the amount of thoughts, and about, at the same time, songs and movies, and I mean, just unbelievable what's going on in their head. And I'm thinking, okay, we need some medication here, because you get to the point where you can't do this with mindfulness when it's that intrusive.
And that's exactly I found myself with anxiety.
Right.
And the resulting, I don't have chronic depression, but I've had acute it's completely logical. It totally makes sense for me personally because I'm one of those
right.
people who has anxiety. That's where actually, even before my suicide attempt, a panic attack was
right.
my first introduction to the mental
wow.
health system. So I hear you. I would love it where we could just all have the gift and not have that stuff.
I know.
You know, I wish.
I know.
I'm with you. I love the creative side. And,
yep.
But I guess maybe that's why I'm sort of offering that. And I get a lot of people, I can see what people are searching for keywords
yeah.
when they find my blog, as I imagine you can. And, you know, it's an immense mix, but there's anxiety, there's suicide. They're
yeah.
not,
yeah.
those aren't the majority for sure, but after my personal struggle, it picked a battle with the wrong guy in the formulation that I got, so to speak, with the
right.
suicidal ideation. So I'm trying to reach out to those people as well as others at the same time who are gifted or, you know, don't have that maybe, but still are striving. You know, they want to make a life, not a living, as they say.
Right.
Or
right.
whatever the case. So I'll stop there. But, yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm totally with you.
So I love
the gift side. So, yeah.
The gift side is great, Jeff, but believe me, I mean, the other night when I spoke, I was privileged to speak the other night on the other side of it's called West LA, and I was able to speak at Shad on that side, and one of the gentlemen that were there, you know, I my heart broke for him because I start off my speech with the gift of ADD, and like he kind of almost jumped out of his chair and was like, "What?" You know,
yeah.
Like, are you crazy type of thing? And I felt so, and I told him, I said, you know what, I'm so sorry if I did anything to offend you, but by the end of the night, because I did a lot with mindfulness and meditation, and he was coming around to see what I was speaking about. But people get very angry, and I understand that because they are struggling with those co-occurring disorders that come up with ADD. And it can be very difficult. So I don't mean any disrespect. I certainly myself have struggled a lot in my life with the symptoms of ADD, but because of the mindfulness over the past 5 years, my life has turned around. But that doesn't mean that it's going to, for every person that tries it, it's going to turn their life around. But I will tell you, I have a lot of people that I work with that their lives are changing because of it. So it's something that is great to do with medication. It's not an either or. See, and that's what I want people to understand. And I think, let's talk about you now. Did you get on medication? Is this what kind of helped you change your life a little bit?
You know what? I'm actually extremely familiar with mindfulness, I have to say, going way back from my martial arts days, or at least pursuing that in the 90s. But you know what? It's not enough for me, and it's hard to stick with. I'll be very blunt.
Right.
With being a dream chaser, a guy who's very driven, I have to get out of my own way, and it's I would love it if for everyone that was enough, like, you know, things like your therapy books.
Right.
I know I mentioned an author. I don't want to drop names, but someone who's well known for mindfulness studies as well.
Right.
When we spoke, so I love that stuff, but it's almost like yoga with me. For me. I can't stick with that, but I can work out like a maniac. It sounds pretty self-righteous or crazy, but I've done that since I was 14, and that's been my savior. I guess it's a matter of finding that outlet, right?
Let me throw something else out to you for a minute, because this is good.
Sure.
I like this kind of banter. I think this helps people. So when I first was introduced to mindfulness, and actually it was my friend from graduate school who showed me the book, The Untethered Soul, and there was a horse on the front, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm in trauma. This guy's giving me a book with a horse on the front cover. So let me ask you, in terms of, like, working out, so you've been doing that since you're 14. So that has become I like to call a habit. I mean, because you do it all the time.
Oh, it sure has, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And it helps your brain, right? Okay. So here's the thing, and I sent you the link to the mindfulness movie. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it. But if you can make mindfulness a habit, if you can make meditation a habit, if you can make positive affirmations a habit, there are studies that are shown, documented studies, Dr. Dan Siegel, who is very big at UCLA. There's another, a couple other psychologists, psychiatrists from UCLA. I'm actually in August going up to Berkeley to take a class from one of the gurus of ADHD medic prescription of mindfulness. I mean, she started this whole thing, I want to say 10, 12 years ago at UCLA. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. But the point of where I'm going with this, because I will get there, is as I started to do this more and more as a habit, is how it started to change my brain. And I am now, you can say that I am in neuroplasticity, that my brain is very different than it used to be because of that. Because it is documented and proven that 8 weeks of mindfulness can actually start to change the brain. You just have to do it every day. That's the only problem.
Is that sort of like the neurofeedback that I've been researching, the neurofeedback testing?
Neurofeedback is very different. And from what I understand, neurofeedback is not – okay, and I know there's going to be people that are going to scream, but it is not as effective for ADHD as it is for anxiety.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But that is very different than mindfulness. It's very, very different.
Right.
And that's why I sent you the link. I'm just going to put the link, I think, on my Facebook page of that movie in case anybody just wants to click on it and watch it. So I'm going to do that. Because it's pretty interesting.
A great idea.
Yeah, you've got all the big guys on there talking, and it's really kind of interesting. It's not just Justine, you know, Miss ADD, who's running around talking about this. It's big people. But I wonder for a second, could we bring Tom on? Because he's on hold. He wants to say hi.
Oh, of course.
Okay. Can we get him on? Hey, Tom.
How are we doing?
We're doing great. Thanks to you.
Hey,
that's
Tom.
Great. Hey, Jess, great to hear from you, man.
Yeah,
man,
you too. Thanks again.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
You know, man, reading your blog, one thing that that I get, but I mean, I don't, and I know that you seem to be a researcher of it, of ADHD, what you do is very informative, which is just a little different than what perhaps than what I do. Man, one thing that always does seem to resonate is your sincerity. That's the biggest thing I get. I mean, you really have seem to have a heart to want to help people, and that's what I find inspiring about what you do.
Yeah. And he comes across that way on the phone as well when you speak to him. He's great.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank
He's
you.
He's really great. Yeah.
You know what I'm...
Sure. Hey, that's really all I had. That's what I wanted to say to you, man. I didn't mean to cut you off if I did.
I just wanted to tell you...
No, I appreciate it. That's huge.
I just wanted to tell you, Tom, that I loved your post about the drugstore being out of meds and all that. That was very funny. Very funny.
The what?
Makes me laugh every day, I have to tell you.
Which one?
The one that you had on your Facebook about the drugstore being out of meds for 3 days. And
oh,
that was
it was like 6 days of, it was awful.
Oh.
It was so funny.
I was at work, like, just you know, angry. You know, it's just, I literally just had to put on a show for 6 days and, you know, pretend like I had to, like, do a little skit as the the Tom Nardone show, but I wasn't really, I was like a understudy, you know. It was awful.
But it was funny.
It was terrible.
See, that's what I love. You make people laugh, Tom. You know,
I do what I can.
You do the best. You really do. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna let you guys get back to it. I just
you.
Wanted to chime in and tell Jeff I was here listening, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the show.
Thanks, Tom. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, guys.
For you, Jeff wouldn't be on, so thank you.
Oh, if it wasn't for
Jeff,
he helped too. He did a little to get there, so you know, I just sort of arranged the meeting.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
I won't forget that.
Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care, Tom.
He's a great guy. I love Tom.
He is the reason I'm here, so I'm immensely grateful.
Yes, he really is. I want to have him on again, too, when his book is done. So...
Yeah.
So we were having, we got into this little mindfulness. The only thing the reason I brought that up is because I feel that sometimes the pushback that I get from some people with ADHD is, and I had it too myself in the beginning, is it's difficult to follow through every day with what you need to do with this. That's all. Because it, you know, the meditation, and you don't get the real, okay, so you don't get the same kind of affect that you do with working out right away. It takes time. That's the difference.
And you know what, for me, Justine, a point is kind of screaming at me right now inside me that I need to make. Not like it's not a one-size-fits-all approach here either, as
right.
you know.
Right.
Not everyone's going to subscribe to mindfulness.
No,
it's not.
No.
It's just not going to work for everyone. I love it,
right.
and it calms
right.
me. I'll be the first to say. But let's
yep.
remember that each, you know, we're all, yeah, and we each of us will find our tribe or our group of people, as you know, that resonate
yes.
with what we're saying, like me being the sentimental, emotional fool, so to speak, as I try to make fun of myself. Some people
right.
really resonate with that, and it's not a pity party. It's not doom and gloom. But it's the reality, from my perspective, my frame of reference, I'll say, to use big fancy words, this is where I come from, so I've got to be me, as I say. I'm
yeah.
also, I'm all about, at the same time, the way you are, trying to inspire people. It's just a different messenger,
right.
a different package, if
yeah.
you will. But I love
yeah.
what you're doing, of course, and you came before me and have done.
Yeah, but you know,
I will tell you,
you're an incredible writer. And this is something that I struggle with every day. This is how my ADHD kind of manifests itself is I'm not a great writer, and I will put that right out there. I speak much better than I write. And so I really admire you for what you're doing because you're reaching so many people. And, you know, as Tom just said, you're really reaching them in such a different way. Like you're inspiring people, which I think is just a wonderful thing. And that's why I wanted to have you on because,
yeah.
you know, my thing
yeah.
is I love to introduce people and say, you know what, this person's amazing. I mean, I really learned a lot from reading your blogs. I'm looking forward to your book. I think you've got a message that really inspires people because you've been through a lot. You really have in your life, and look where you're
yeah.
at.
Yeah. Right, and everyone has a story. I realize I'm simply one person, but I just happen to have chosen to write about it, and I've
right.
always had this need to be the messenger, and I don't know if that's some psychologists could definitely label me, well, that guy wants to be a martyr, or that guy wants to be a messenger.
Don't listen to that crap.
Issues. But you know what? Hey, there are worse things I could be doing, I figure, and I might as
yeah.
well try to reach who I can. And it's like you, though, and I thank you, you know what, not like much respect to you and Tom and everyone doing this, because one thing I say in the blog, and it sounds corny to, it almost sounds corny to me because I type it so much, but it's not. It's just I feel like people are going to perceive it. I say, we're all together in this. And it's
yeah.
so darn true, like
yeah.
after, things I've gone through, things you've gone through, things my
yeah.
readers have gone through, which I can't imagine. We're all in this, damn it. Excuse my language.
Yep. No, we are.
So, you know.
We
just,
are. You know,
yeah, anyway,
there's so many people on Facebook, so many different groups on Facebook where I see people struggling, and it's so painful sometimes because I can't get to everybody. I can't reach out to everybody. And this is my way with my podcast to, I guess, get to people easier
right.
than writing to them all the time, but there's a lot of people that are on there and they're just looking for help, and you know they have kids, they don't know what to do with their kids. You know, I work with kids and I work with adolescents, and it's really painful when I see the parents coming in. I'm a parent. Both my boys have ADHD. One is on the autistic spectrum as well. So, you know, it's very difficult, and the reason for my book was because I wanted parents to try and get to that positive place about it. Because if you can get
right.
to a positive place, you know this, the more positive you can
yep.
be, that message gets through. And especially with kids and adolescents, you really don't want to walk
oh,
around with...
huge.
Yeah, it really is. It really
huge.
Is. And I think...
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a terrible thing happen here in California yesterday. I don't know if you heard
oh,
about the
geez,
kid who
yeah.
shot... Yeah. And, you know, you look at that kid, and I was watching
yeah.
him on the YouTube
yeah.
videos because, you know, with my therapy background, I want to, you know, really see what's going on here. And I'm going to
exactly.
say this, And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who may disagree with me, but I will tell you that a big problem in this kid was the family. I mean, I can tell dad is a, you know, an assistant director on the Hunger Games, and he remarried, and the stepmother threw him out of the house. And so, you know, there were a lot of red flags going on, because when a parent brings me in a kid that needs help, I want to see the family, you know, because there's something wrong. There's there's something going on. So I'm, you know, I'm just putting it out there that there's something going on in that family, and I certainly am not out to hurt anybody by saying this, but I think it's something that we really need to, as parents, be aware of the behaviors of our children. When we see things going on that really aren't fitting us, you know, this isn't sitting well with me. These videos that I'm seeing on his YouTube channel, they're not sitting well with me. So they send the cops out there. I would have went, and I would have grabbed him out of the apartment and brought him home and, you know, got him help and figured out what I could do and do anything, because that's who I am as a mother. But, you know, I'm so sad for all those children up there that lost their lives, and then for the parents that have to grieve this loss. It's a horrible thing.
Oh, yeah. Can I say something? I did watch his video a couple times.
Yes.
Can I throw in that? And there's a lot here. I mean, I have to pick one or two points. The first point is the irony of really quick before we get back on topic of what we're saying, but though we are, but really, anyway, with him, he's so hard done by, and he had so many issues, but the irony is, as we know, all the material things were there. He had everything materialistically, obviously, so it's that good old adage that, you know, what we truly need isn't simply just that, obviously, but
that's right.
Parents to be around, et cetera. But I'm certainly no therapist. You're right on medication. I can't even begin to imagine. But things aren't always as they seem. It took me a long time to realize that you know, people in high places aren't always the most, you know, stable, let's say. You know, it comes down to, do we really want to be famous, or do we want to actually be wholesome as much as we can, try to be good people? And it took me a heck of a long time to figure that out from, you know, anyway, so I
No,
you
so, Jeff, you're right on, because I think that what happens, especially here in L.A., it makes me sad, because we want to be famous. We want to be famous. We want to be famous. But what are we really doing where our kids are concerned? And are we really paying attention? And there are some famous Hollywood people who are wonderful parents. I mean, wonderful parents. And then there are some other people who are so caught up in the fame that I think things kind of slip by them. And it's not only Hollywood. This is all over the world. You know, when people have a lot of money, when people don't have any money, things just kind of slip by them, and they're not watching. And the other point of it is, because I'm a parent, is sometimes we look at things and go, oh, that's okay, that'll get better. No, don't do that. That's what I want to tell people. Don't go to that big river in Egypt, as I call it, denial, because I'm telling you, that is a bad place to live, especially where your kids are concerned, you know. So, anyway, okay, I got off on a tangent. I'm sorry. So let me ask you something. After everything that you went through, okay, that difficult period of time, how did you get to a positive place where you decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to help other people.
Yeah, you know what, Justin, really quick, probably in the early 2000s, I got into all the courses from all the motivational people. I've always been in that mindset, ironically. You wouldn't know it for asking some of the posts. Brian Tracy to Zig Ziglar to Tony, good old Tony Robbins, to several of the others. I'm all about that. And anyone who knows me knows that probably since high school, I've been that way.
Okay.
So the irony is that this stuff brought me to my knees. So I'm no stranger to manifesting, you know, Wayne Dyer, The Secret, all that stuff. Manifesting what you desire. You know, once, what does Wayne say? Once you change the way that you look at things, the things you look at change.
Yes.
That sort of philosophy has always been ingrained in me, at least from my own choice, after messing up many years ago. But then, yeah, so getting to your response, or your question rather, basically what happened was about 9 months ago, my wife and I, long story short, moved, again, we're in Canada. So
right.
We moved across the country, yeah, from Toronto, about an hour southwest of Toronto, to Calgary, Alberta. Banff.
How far
know,
is that? A long way?
It's about, I'm going to guess in miles, I'm not even sure offhand, maybe 2,000 miles, 2,300.
Okay, that's pretty far.
So
okay.
It's a fair way. Yeah. But after, because the economy in the eastern Canadian provinces, at least in Ontario, Canada, where Toronto is, the economy has gotten a lot worse, depending what you do for a living. Like, it's gotten, and I don't pretend to know the reasons, so I digress on politics. I'll leave that alone. that and religion I will leave alone, for goodness sake.
Me too.
Yeah.
Thank you. We agree on that.
You hear the Canadian accent. Yeah, so anyway, we moved here 9 months ago. I'm on a rambling rage here. We moved here, and I can see the Rocky Mountains, the Canadian Rockies,
wow.
in Colorado, as you imagine, from my balcony here.
Huh.
I just found it's something, yeah, I'm huge into the mountains for sure. Speaking of inspiration you know, the metaphor for success.
Yes.
I started maybe after a month of moving here. We had been through major trauma. We lost both our cats within three months after moving here, and they were
so
like
sorry.
Children to us because. Oh no, I appreciate it. It was just the movers almost lost our stuff. It was very traumatic. There was a lot there, and we were pulling our hair out with you know, we were very frustrated. But ironically, a month later after moving here, I had this idea on a whim. Again, the messenger in me, right?
Right.
I don't like the term martyr because that can be misconstrued. But, you know, I've got to reach people. I've always wanted to inspire them somehow. Even if it's, you know, showing them how much I've screwed up and then never gave up, however. Going from
a
jail cell to being clean and making it in life.
Right.
Living on my terms.
Right.
I don't sound like a cheerleader, but that's how I'm wired. So even if I'm dying, it's like I'll never give up until I'm gone sort of thing, which sounds really noble and righteous, but it's just how I am, as I say, right? I'm not trying to be a rock star, as some people have suggested, or you're just trying to make money. No, I make nothing right now. I'd like to make something so I don't have to work at a conventional 9-to-5 as a security guard or a laborer, so I can help full-time. That's what, you know, I'm trying to show people that. Like, it's a battle here that I'm waging in a way. I can't just do a 9-to-5, which will sound really lazy. But anyway, I know I'm on a tangent. It's just how I'm wired.
That's okay.
I need to achieve. I need to reach others. So, yeah, I know. I don't mean to apologize. My wife says, stop apologizing for who you are.
Yeah, no, because you know what? Really, seriously, people understand who you are. I understand who you are. Believe me, I mean, you and I could go off on tangents all day long. That's who we are.
Yeah.
That's why we're so creative.
Yeah.
But now, so let me let me just ask you this. So you were talking about being clean. So at one time you were struggling with substance abuse.
No, I didn't actually mean it that way. I meant from a criminal record perspective.
I got you. Okay.
I should have rephrased it. That wasn't the right term. But, yeah, having a record for about 10 years from a threats conviction over the phone with a girl I was breaking up with once, and she had a friend listening in on another line. And I had my role to play, though. I take full responsibility. This was 99.
Good for you.
And I was, you know, again, young, hot-headed, and a typical symptom, not as an excuse, but I didn't control my mouth, and I threatened someone.
Right.
And I never would have done anything, for goodness sake, like it couldn't hurt a fly. But Mel's would tell you otherwise when I was younger, that's for sure. So you know what? I was given there's a long story to that that's in the blog, because I was in the security industry at the time, and my dream, which will sound funny to some people, but it again, because I got in trouble, my dream or my mission, I called it at the time, was to go from being in jail and having that record to being the guy delivering money to banks, the armed guard going to banks, because I loved the security industry at the time. Yeah, it sounds, at first, you know, people at first, like Brinks or Loomis Fargo, whatever, they don't get paid well. Why would you want that? But it was the principle. I saw a truck one night, and I was in the industry again, doing casino security, and I'd handled lots of money and that sort of thing. But I just, sort of like a guy in the military, you know, you love the protocol, you love the responsibility.
Yes, yes.
And then I get, and then I end up behind bars, and it clicks. I'm going to, again, I don't know if it's the martyr thing or what, but I don't care what it takes, nearly join the military. I know it's the Canadian military, so again, we're nothing like the U.S.
Oh, don't
but,
say that.
It was the principle. Well, you know what I mean. I mean, everyone has their points on that, and I, you know, but for me, it was everything. I even have a tattoo, you know, so anyway, I'll slow down.
No, and the reason I asked the Queen comment is for the last 2 weeks, and I'm going to continue this for probably another 3 or 4 weeks, and probably go in and out a little bit, but I have been doing Addiction Begins with ADD because I've done a lot of research, and there's a lot more addiction in the world of ADD. We tend to have addictive personalities, and it doesn't always have to be a substance. Okay, it can be we get addicted to the internet, to video games, to whatever it is. But I see that there's a lot more addiction, and my own son is about 65 days sober now, and you know he has also bipolar too. So since he's 14, he has been struggling with this, and very difficult as a parent to watch. But the point is, want to get this message out so that parents are aware that it really does run rampant in our population.
Right. And I've heard, you know what, anything I really quick, anything I can do to help you with that, let me know as far as retweeting or blogging. Just let me know. Just say the word.
Thank you.
That's huge.
That would be big.
Oh, yeah,
I really appreciate that. Yeah, I want to get that word out because I think it's just, it's a very important message to let people know that please don't let your kids run the house because I see so much of that going on because there's a lot of guilt with parents nowadays. And so kids are running the house. They don't feel safe, and they're doing anything they want to do. They're going to end up in a lot of trouble, and I'm just trying to save a lot of kids out there from that happening.
Yeah, that's I commend you, And I was going to say, go ahead.
No, I was going to get back. I wanted to ask you a question. You seem to, I don't know your wife, but she seems to be a very loving, supportive part of your life.
Oh. Yeah, I'm frankly, as I say to her, and again, I'm a bit of a sap here, which I should be because I'm
I love
amidst
that.
An angel here of sorts, her and a few people in my life. I'm here. I say I'm here because of them, and they would be the first ones to say, well, Jeff, you've also battled through in your own way. Again, we all have our story. Mine, but I still say I'm the first to give them credit, and often we never give ourselves credit as ADHDers. I'm finding we're often our own worst critics. It seems to be a pattern I'm finding. Correct me if I'm wrong.
There's a lot of that. So here's my question about that is
Go ahead.
I've done a lot of podcasts with couples, and there's a lot of difficulty in the world of one has ADD, the other one does not. And so I'm assuming, and I could be wrong, that your wife does not have ADD. Is that correct?
She does. That's correct.
Okay. So I guess my question is, your relationship seems to work really well. And what do you attribute that to? And give yourself some credit here, too. Even though there are the negative symptoms that come up, I'm sure, she seems to really love you for you and not for the behaviors. And that's the message that I try to get out to couples that I work with.
Yeah, that's – and I realize that, again, everyone – I've heard stories, too, and I've had people ask me out of the blue, especially on Twitter, what do I do? My husband has it. The marriage is on the rocks, and I'm not qualified, obviously, like telling people about medication. Everyone's different. Don't compare your medication to someone else's.
Right.
Don't get me started on that. But anyway, it's good to share stories in a way, but careful. Everyone's different. But, answering your question now. I know everyone's different, but for me, this is just for me, I've been extremely fortunate, and ironically – she's helped me, starting with her, as I take a deep breath to slow down a bit. She has helped me by, well, first things first, a year and a half ago, I committed myself to a psych ward where I grew up. And it was a bit of I don't want to word this wrong, but I hadn't quite learned my lesson with behaviors, with symptoms I was displaying. I won't go into a tangent because it's in the blog about bugging HR recruiters or job recruiters in the armored car industry and just being obsessed with that. You know, do you have my resume yet? And then getting blacklisted because I couldn't control my racing mind on that, the determination.
Right.
But I digress again. She has been a rock, absolute rock, when, you know, it was very traumatic. For instance, signing, you know, committing me to the psych ward and her being there every night, not knowing if I'd make it, not knowing, because I was researching, without getting too graphic, I was right there again. Railroad tracks, man, whatever it took, I was ready to go. And I'm getting cracked up a little bit, so bear with me. But but it's probably because I'm rambling too. But she was there the whole way. She's been there the whole time. And I know there's a lot more to that. I'm not a therapist like yourself, but I just know that with the right partner, I just thought of something, but I'll stay on this point. A man or a woman, whoever it is, like I'll use myself as an example. Even if you've got a great partner who's there, you have to be honest with yourself. And be open to treatment. I can scream that, like not literally.
That was so great,
women are
Jeff.
Saying, oh, man, so many men are full of pride, and I've got tons of pride. But damn it, we need to just be honest for the sake, you know, like what, is it worth the pride when your life's down the drain? You know what I mean?
Right.
I realize it. Yeah, I'll stop there. But
no, I think what you're saying is profound because, and you hit it right on the head because I think, what happens, I know what happens with couples, and most of the time, it's the men who have ADD and the women who don't. And what happens, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think that when the beginning of the relationship starts, it's exciting, it's fun, especially if you're ADHD and you're romantic and, you know, you're creative and everybody's in love, and then the marriage happens and the kids come, or the kids don't come, and you feel like you're taking care of a kid. You don't have another adult with you, you know. And when the man or the woman who has it doesn't want to own up to it and say, I need to work on myself. I need to, you know, not only possibly get on meds, but I also need to get some help, whether that's coaching, which I do, as well as therapy. I actually like coaching better. Because it's in the moment, and it's, you know, helping people put one foot in front of the other. But when they don't admit that, that's when nothing happens. You're absolutely right. You hit the nail on the head. So in your marriage, what you're saying is you've taken ownership of your ADHD and have said, I'm going to work on this, and you have a partner who is very supportive of everything that you do.
Exactly, and I'm, you know what, for my readers, anyone who does read or anyone who may check out the blog, you know what, I'm still in the middle of it, and I'm sure it'll never end. Remember that I'm still in the middle of this. I don't, if I can throw it out there real quick, and I'll finish with my wife there, as you were saying, but just remember, everyone, I'm in the middle of this like you are. My book deal is not guaranteed. I talk all about this like I'm, I'm trying to reach these heights, but I am. And it's so sincere that it's insane, pardon the pun, but not to make joke, you know, just trying to be a little generous there, but because I'm like gripping my hand in a fist right now as I'm saying this, it's so passionate. I'm going through this right now, and the blog is helping me as much as everyone else, I think, well, as much as it's helping those it's helping. And
yes.
For those who respond and leave comments and that sort of thing, thank you. I've got people on Facebook, et cetera, but I know I'm going on a rant. But
it's good.
Getting back, I've said that a lot, I realize. It's only my second radio interview or podcast.
No, this is great.
But as far as she goes and me taking ownership, that was my point. I'm still in the middle of it. You know what? I'm at a crossroads right now, for instance, if I can use an example of how she's been great.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of a crossroads of an identity crisis of sorts, almost again, where it's like, because of ADHD and you know, symptoms, comorbid, whatever it is, I burnt out of, I basically flunked out of university about 3-4 years ago. It would have been 2010.
Okay.
From doing an honors degree in criminology,
wow,
for instance. And I've had 3 student loans. I had a 3-year, you know, you can't get any more loans for 3 years because of my lack of academic progress.
Right.
I had a psychiatrist write a note, so that's been nulled. And I'm at the point now where tomorrow, literally at 5 or 5:30, I'm seeing a psychologist to figure out, do I go back to university now, or do I stick to these menial jobs, again, because I don't have an education, so to speak, no degree or anything. Do I try to stomach these jobs and be so driven towards building this blog, you know, monetizing it if I can in a great way of integrity, and that's sort of the pipe dream on the side, or do I actually just get an education in social work or something else? So I'm at that that's my point. I'm at the crossroads now. I'm going through it as I'm helping people, and she's been an amazing support. She's supporting us financially at the moment. I'm not afraid to say that. And I am going to do whatever it takes to get there, but also learn to slow down. And maybe if I do need an additional medication, or if I need someone at school, if I end up going, to help me each week to stay on track, I don't care what it takes, because the time is going to pass anyway, Justine, right? As you know, we're on the same page. At the end of that time, at the end of 5 years from now, where do I want to be?
Right.
You know, do I want to be dead? Do I want to be here? Do I want to be a published author? Do I want to be giving back to people? Because that's the one thing I pardon the term, but it's the one thing I get off on, if I may say it. I can't think of another term. Is helping
it's
for
perfect.
My story, you know, so I know I'm sounding very emotional, but
I think all of this
calling.
I think it's great, and I think it's great because of a couple of reasons. The first thing is, I think you have an incredible wife who is a partner.
Yeah.
See, and that's what it's all about. Is being partners, and those are two adults that are working together to build something. You know, that's a beautiful thing. It really is, and I commend her. I commend you for that. The other thing, and I think this is really big, it's very important, is there at times, and it's happened to a lot of people that I know. If it wasn't for my father, when I was, you know, I'm going to be 60 in November. So if it wasn't for my father in my early 20s. Who scared the living shit out of me, okay? First of all, I wouldn't be alive because I didn't do stupid things, a lot of stupid things that I would have done because of him. But he also forced me to go to college. I did not want to go, okay? And he said, I'm giving you a gift that nobody is ever going to be able to take away from you. And he was absolutely right, because had I not gone to college and almost failed out but made it through with straight A's my last year, so you can just imagine, and only ended up with a 2.0. So that'll tell you how little I was going to school. I was bored out of my mind. That would have never, had I not gotten that degree, I wouldn't have been able to go to graduate school. That being said, there are tons of people in your age bracket, and my son is one of those people who is highly intelligent, who cannot even finish his 2-year college education, and the part of it is, the addiction, the bipolar, the ADD, the lack of focus, the lack of internal motivation, that motivation that really keeps us going. And you want to know what a big part of it is? It's a lot of the subjects that you have to take to get to your major can be mundane and boring.
I'm already saying, how did you know? Were you with me? Were you watching? oh, my goodness. Psychology of Crime, I remember the doctor's name, the PhD's name, and how dry the damn course was.
Oh,
and I'm
my
thinking,
God.
Man, I would love to skip right to a master's or skip right to something, and I wouldn't know what I need to know, obviously, but let's get to the good stuff, damn it.
I know.
Seriously.
I know. I'm right with you. That's why I'm telling you, it is so boring.
So
these poor kids that are ADD and they have to go. That's why my other son, he went to the Academy of Art University in San Francisco, and he's going to graduate in December with, you know, almost straight A's. He's got a 3.95, Why? Because he's learning how to compose music for movie, television, and video games, and that's his love.
Nice. How can you go
wrong? That's why he's doing so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's
why,
and that's why it's a good,
yeah.
It's a good subject for us to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because so many people in that age bracket stop going to school, and so much of it is, you know, they're bored, you know, and it's like, oh my God, I got to finish this. Oh, okay, until I get to my master's or until I can get to, you know, my major, and I feel good. Did you say you were interested in social work?
I'm looking at it. I need to find out if I am, in fact, a great fit, like I'm thinking I am, because I was in the psych ward dealing with MSWs here, and man, was I turned on by that. It was like an immediate change going through CBT class or cognitive therapy and talking with these. And I actually knew one from high school. He said, yeah, Jeff, you know, it's almost like an MSW, at least we call it an MSW in Canada here, at least. Probably a few options, but Masters of Social Work.
Right.
And it's almost like my background would be such a huge benefit.
Yes.
And it's not all just regurgitating textbooks, pardon the...
No.
Not to put that down. I mean, you need to learn.
No.
But
I know what you mean, because it's very boring.
Right. Yeah. But when you're out there, there's
it'd
a large
great.
Co-op placement component. I hope I would. I want to think I would. But then it would involve student loans, et cetera, et cetera. But again, if I'm lucky, you know, if someone's lucky enough to have a support structure, like you say, of someone to help.
Yes.
My wife
yes.
knows I would devote my last breath to her now because of everything she's done for me.
Right.
So whatever it takes, the years are going to pass anyway. Do I want to be at a, you know, $17 an hour job in 5 years? Or do I want to be doing what I love and be getting paid better? That helps.
Right.
It can really make an impact. That's my thought. I just don't know if it's actually, you know,
It's all about making a change and making a difference. I'm sorry. And, I've been a coach for 21 years, but I didn't get my master's till I was 54. And I decided to do that because I really felt like I wanted to. I was a psych major in college, and it was always a passion of mine. Mm. But, again, I didn't feel good enough about myself that I could have gone back to school, and I married someone who was destructive to me and to my children. It was a very bad situation. I have my own story that I've written in another book that is in a rewrite because it was so emotional that it really has to be gone through and rewritten because, again, writing is not my favorite thing and it was very difficult for me to put it down.
Wow,
but yeah,
you.
I went through a lot and a lot of trauma, but here's what I do. I take responsibility for my part in everything that I go through. And that is what I look for, as you just said before, when you get the people that are couples and the one person is pointing the finger at the other person, you know, that's a danger zone. You know, I don't care if it's the person with ADD or not. Taking responsibility for stuff in your life can make a change in your life. It really can.
And it's, you know what, it's, as well as we know, for any couples out there, it's not easy. My wife and I still, I mean, we know this, but I'm just saying. We still have our moments. Believe me, when, you know what my wife said the other day, a good saying was, I don't like you at all right now, or I may not like you at all, or I may hate you right now. And hate's too strong of a word, but you know what I mean. But I still love you. Even if I don't like you right now, I still love you.
Right.
Let's just get
through
this and let time pass. And that's what we do. We had that recently with this crossroads I'm going through. I panicked on a job that would meet, I call it a, I'm not trying to put an industry down, so I won't. I've been in security work a long time. So I'm a little, how do I put this nicely? I'm tired of the industry. And the
I got it.
The way it's run, you know, I'm sure most people will know what I mean, I'm sure. But I've been spinning my wheels taking those jobs and hoping the blog would take off in time, even though it's only been 8 months I've been doing it.
Which is amazing.
I've been getting in my own way.
Yeah, and you know, look, it does take time. Yeah. It takes time, you know, to get out there and for people to know you. And that's why when your book comes out,
for sure,
that's going to be really big. And, you know, hopefully I can have you back on when your book is out so we can get the word out there this way too, because I'll do anything I can to help, because you're out there helping other people. And this is what this is all about. We need to help as many people as we can. And, you know, the people I've met who have been a little, you know, kind of, I guess you could say, push back towards me because they're doing the same thing, I want to say, wait a minute, there's enough to go around. Because
that's true. You're right. That's a huge point.
There's so many people out there that need help. So, you know, we shouldn't be looking at each other as, you know, people that we should vie against. We should be looking at each other that people we should embrace each other and say, so, okay, what are you doing? And this is what I'm doing. And how can we put this together so we can really help other people?
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's all about. So, yeah, I'm excited for you.
You know what? I originally started with that mindset because I'm a competitive guy. I won't lie.
Right.
I started with, because most other industries, and I've been in the blogging for a while, like interested in it, and social media. So
right.
I thought, how do I find my niche, you know, and build a blog and monetize it and make money without having to go to a 9-to-5 job? I used to think, you know, like before I went through my crisis, et cetera, that's how I was thinking. So I brought that mindset to this approach and then quickly realized, whoa, you know, that's totally, as a fancy word, counterintuitive, or that's damaging to the people who need us the most, you know.
Right.
It's so true. So I've completely changed there where, whether it's Tom, yourself, Dr. Hallowell, Dr. Wes Crenshaw in Kansas, I believe. He's in Missouri, I believe, off the top of my head. He's got a phenomenal book. Other people I'm reaching out. You want to align yourself with the leaders in the industry, but this is mental health. I had to have a mind shift with that. So, yeah, I'm just saying, you're bang on. There's room for everyone, and everyone wins. We're all together in this, as I said.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because
but it's true.
It's very true. And my husband, who's been in the entertainment industry for years, he's like my manager. He's so funny. And a couple of years ago when I was getting nervous because I was, seeing people doing things, he said, look, do me a favor. Stop watching other people and focus on what's in front of you and do what you need to do with the book, with you know, your clients. And I promise you, if you keep chipping away, this thing is going to get bigger and you're going to reach other people and things are going to get good for us and good for other people. Because I'm with you with the whole money-making thing. It can be scary at times, you know, but you just keep moving forward because you're out there. People are seeing you. You have 20,000 followers on Twitter. I mean, that is just incredible.
Yeah. That was trial and error. I've been suspended several times before I figured out a good formula. I'll be the first to admit. This is a lot of trial and error, people. I didn't just buy these followers or whatever, and it's not pretty. You know, I laugh at myself.
I'm so impressed with that. Like, when I first found out about you and then I went to Twitter to look up, oh, my God. I mean, I have scraped and scraped and scraped, and I think I have 853 followers. And I'm like, okay, I got to get moving here. How does this work? This is unbelievable.
Well,
but you know what? I'm not worried about it because the bottom line is
I was gonna say.
I'm doing what I need to do, as my husband says, just keep moving forward.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's what I do. And if we get more followers, we do. If we don't, it really doesn't matter to me. You know, what matters is that I'm with people that I work with, I'm making a difference, that people are getting better. That's all that matters.
That's what
it's got to be
for
you. You're,
Exactly. I was going to say you're right, and tomorrow, God forbid this, excuse my language, but tomorrow Twitter could be banished. You never know, right?
You never know.
That, you nailed it. Whether I had a billion followers, like people have so many, and
they
whether they're real or half-bought or whatever it is, it's about who you're helping in the end. You look beyond my numbers, frankly. I'm building them, and you're building them. You're doing it your way. I do my way. You're reaching more audiences than I. You know, like there's more or less purple. You do your thing. I do my thing. And as your husband said, that's such wisdom as you have as well. Now, of course, just keep chipping away at what you're doing. Stick to your vision. I feel like I'd be talking to a 15-year-old kid as a social worker and just say, don't compare, you know. I mean, it's easy to say it one day. They need support constantly. But, just keep sticking to your vision And that's,
yep.
There is no magic formula for this, for getting well known. You just stick
no.
to something. And then, and the money thing, can I add one quick thing? And it will be
yeah.
quick. But the money thing is, well, how do you make money? So like I was actually, a quick anecdote, I was quickly banished. I was quickly kicked out of an ADHD group on Facebook, and I'm happy to say this, because on my blog I have an advertising tab.
Oh.
And normally I'd say, oh, well, so, you know, so what? Let it roll off my back. But that bothered me, and they said, you have an advertising tab. You're looking to make money. But the thing was, and I'm not trying to defend myself, but at the same time, I need people to know this. I'm addressing it head on, like
okay.
people look in my eyes in my YouTube videos to know I'm real. You know what? I'm trying to simply, the type of advertisements would be things that are educational, like your book or
right.
other books, or not,
right.
not pharmaceutical companies, not that I have anything against them. They change lives, but it's not that. It's about, per se, it's only about things that are constructive and can help people, and I will always meet people eye to eye, face to face, as much as I can, of course, to say, you
right.
know what, I'm real. I'm not just trying to pad pockets. I'm trying to build this so I can help more people and team up with other people like myself, and
right.
we can create things to help. So many people
right.
are cynical, right? And I understand
right.
that. I get it.
Right.
But damn
right.
it, there's some of us who are still real, and after my brother's death and my own, I always go back to that to show people, well, yeah, the guy's actually paid a price in his own way for this. He,
yeah.
You know what I mean? There's more to it for me. Not
yeah, I'm
damn
sorry about your brother. Yeah.
So, well, I don't mean to keep nailing that. I'm just saying I say
no,
that.
No, I
you.
Just...
Thank you.
Yeah, I've never said that to you, but I am very sorry.
Oh.
That had to be a horrible thing for your parents to go through, too. So.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah, my dad found him and cut him down and... It was where
oh.
we used to work out as kids, in that very gym there with all pictures of bodybuilders, and such an inspired place. But my
wow.
brother, God bless him, he's at peace now. But for anyone,
yeah.
there are others out there as well, as I know who've lost
wow.
someone. And you know what? They're cheering us on. If I could say one thing, they're cheering us on, whatever you believe in. You know that, you know, people would only want to see us succeed and be happy. And again, that may sound blah, blah, but it's true. And that's
no,
what
it
you
is.
Have to believe.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. That's my, yeah. So I know I'm like a freight train with this stuff. But
no, I do. I do.
Trauma,
I believe, I really believe that. And I think that's a very positive way to look at
yeah,
it, because
yeah.
I think to celebrate their life and to say that they're up there
yeah.
just, you know, rooting for us is a very positive way to look at it. I asked you something before, but we kind of get off on tangents, which is great. I
oh,
love
sorry.
It. What? No, believe me, this
okay.
is fun. I love this. What? Would you share what meds you're on? Would you do that? I mean, because
well,
just to kind of give people a feel for what you're doing.
Yeah, I feel like right off the bat, I want to say, well, I'm not going to mention the name, but I will say
right.
what it is.
Okay, good.
And I'll give the goods away, so to speak. I'm more than happy to. I just don't
okay.
like naming names because I'm not
right.
To,
right.
Yeah. And because everyone's different, don't just compare. Well, if you're
that's
on
exactly
this,
right.
Maybe it'll
I
be
just
great.
I just wanted you to
you know.
you're exactly right,
right
because I will tell everybody who's listening that psychotropic medications don't work the same for everybody. Everybody's brain is different, so it's a crapshoot. When you go to a psychiatrist,
yeah.
they're going to try stuff. It may work, it may not. Don't give up. Don't give up. That's the thing because
that's right.
you have to keep on it. So all. That's why if you could just say the type, it
sure.
doesn't have to be the name, then
yeah,
we can kind of, you can say how it helped you.
Yeah, you know what? And I'm happy, here's where I'm happy to mention someone's name who helped me and who's been huge, and I'm not receiving any money or anything. It sounds silly that I would have to say that. But Dr.
Okay.
Wes Crenshaw
okay.
is, yeah, I'm saying his name because I'm grateful. Like Tom Nardone, like yourself now.
Right.
Dr. Wes Crenshaw, yeah, is in Missouri. He's got his own practice.
Oh, great.
He actually reached out. I didn't have to, you know, we've talked about collaborating or who knows what else or just, you know, talked about the weather. And then we
right.
talked about,
that's great.
You know, my experience and his. So, yeah, so long story short, I took some advice from him, and I have a copy of his book, I will say, I mentioned it in the blog, and that's all I'll
what's
say.
The name, what's the name of his book?
Oh, okay. It's I Always Want to Be Where I'm Not.
Oh, that's
and
great.
And it's on Amazon. And, again, I'm making nothing off it, just to be very clear about that. But he's helped me, man. He has. He actually gave me a review. He gave me a copy, a review copy, so that I could look it over. And very, you know, selfless. And yes, he's doing great things with promoting awareness as well. And while the guy
is he a psychiatrist,
way,
Jeff?
He's actually. As far as I know, he's a psychologist. He is a
psychologist. Okay, okay.
But he's been for about 22 years, roughly. Again, this is all, I don't have his website up, so my apologies to Wes if I'm wrong on any of these facts, but I'm
okay.
quite sure of what I'm saying. But about 22 years he's been in practice, and wow, is he knowledgeable. And he also has a, I believe either one or both children have ADD
like
or
me.
ADHD.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, so that said, that's
yeah.
all I
And
know
I think that's what helps both of us become knowledgeable because I had a,
sure,
I
yeah.
discovered when my older son was diagnosed at age 40 that I had ADHD, but you really dig in when you have kids because you want to make sure you're not making mistakes. Yeah, so
oh,
that's part
and
of, yeah.
You know what, I'm not a parent. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anything I can do to help with that, just let me know off air or whatever to help, you know, connect people. I love connecting others. You know, whatever I can.
I would love to. I would love
to
have him on the show.
Yeah. Oh.
Do you think he would be
guy.
On?
Yeah. So. Oh,
Dr.
absolutely.
Crenshaw?
I'm sure he would love that. Yeah.
Okay.
You
have to give me
yeah,
when.
He, and he's a. Okay.
You can Facebook me his information. I'll contact him.
Sure. Yeah. He's talking about salt of the earth, pure, just trying to help people, and
great.
You know, he's you can tell quite quick. At least I could. That he's for real there and very sincere. But he, long story short, he suggested Jeff attack because he knew I had anxiety. Anxiety has been
right.
huge for me, especially over,
right.
you know, getting more popular, trying to build this, you right. know, it's that irony. Well, I'm trying to reach a goal, but as I'm reaching for it and I'm getting closer, I'm getting more anxious. But I don't want to self-sabotage
right.
the goal.
Right.
So he said, here's a, yeah. So he said from his experience, he said, my two cents, Jeff, attack the anxiety first. Attack that
right.
first. And I thought, well, because that was the most prevalent or the most,
yep.
What's a better word for that, the most challenging symptom that I've had recently that's been hurting me in life,
yep.
in my day-to-day life.
He's
so,
right.
Okay, yeah, so there you go. Again, I'm in my own head sort of racing here. But
no, look,
so
you
I
know
tried,
what? I have to,
oh,
go ahead. You try, what medication?
I was going to say, I was on one in the past that had worked
okay.
for that calmed me down. It's actually an SSRI. It's
yes.
an antidepressant.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah.
So that's, yeah, so there's your answer finally.
no, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, I'm on, I think I'm just about through 2 weeks on it. And, you know, the full effect is roughly 5-6 weeks, depending who you talk
right.
to. So I'm still waiting to see, but, and I, you know, being in the middle of this crossroads with my career too, it's a lot right now.
Right.
And you know, there's always a lot going on for all of us, right? When is there ever a perfect time to just do something?
Yes.
All joking aside, I've noticed it has helped. Mindfulness, like you mentioned, has helped.
Right.
Even calming music.
Right.
Anything from walks. Again, it's the habit though. I have to get into that habit, like the working out. That would be great.
Yes.
Admittedly, as you were saying, right?
Yes, yeah.
So, but that's what I'm on now anyway, so.
You know, and it's interesting because what he said, because it's kind of what I talk to my clients about is, you know, when you go see a psychiatrist, and I'm going to tell people that are listening about this, when they put you on more than one medication at once, it's not a good idea because If you get a reaction, you don't know which med is causing the problem. So I have a very good friend who's a psychiatrist here who, I'm sorry, I've lived all over this country, and this guy is the best psychiatrist I've ever met. He's wonderful. And he talks about when there's co-occurring disorders and the stimulant medication is exacerbating those symptoms, you need to remove the stimulant and work on the co-occurring disorder. So it's the same type of thing. If I have somebody that comes in and is very depressed but also is diagnosed with ADHD, that depression really needs to be worked on first, because
you can't.
A stimulant is gonna, for a while, bring you up, but then it's gonna spiral you down. So don't, when you go to psychiatrists, understand, and I tell people this all the time, you have to speak to them like, you know, it's your life. There's a lot of psychiatrists out there who will try to tell you what to do without knowing really who you are. They need to be taking it, the intake appointment needs to be an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, depending on the situation, and they need to take a lot of information so they really know who you are, and you need to ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Don't put a doctor up on a pedestal. They don't belong up there.
Right.
I don't belong up there. Nobody does, okay? They put their pants on the same way that we do, one leg at a time,
mm-hmm.
and they need to speak to us in a respectful way.
Oh, yeah. And we know, can I throw a couple things in there to add to that?
Yes.
We know the amount of egos out there. We all have egos to a degree. I admit I do, of course.
We all do, yeah.
Maybe not Wayne Dyer, but...
yeah,
but,
yeah.
I was going to say, all joking aside again, I read a stat from, you know what, it was Dr. Crenshaw's book, ironically. 96% of medical students purposely don't go into psychiatry, and there are roughly 7,000-something psychiatrists for the entire U.S. It's almost becoming an, I don't want to say epidemic, but the psychiatry industry... There's a huge problem, I'm thinking, from what I've seen so far. So correct me if I'm wrong on that. Have you heard much about that?
It's very interesting. Yeah, the personalities. To go ahead, continue, and then I'll tell you what I know about that.
That's pretty much what I was going to say. It speaks to the whole, I always had a love for sociology, too, and just the bigger picture. I was always a big picture thinker, like maybe ADHDers are, I'm guessing. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but,
they are.
The price we're paying for all this technology, I just got to say for the record, as we know, we're paying one hell of a price socially. And that trickles down to doctors not taking the damn time to visit. And it's not just their fault either. I'll be the first to say they don't have the time to take a holistic team approach, at least unless you have the money perhaps. And not to be a cynic, they don't. I've seen it. I've had to ask my doctors to respectfully, of course, to please just listen for a moment. Please take a moment. This is my life. You know, it sounds very dramatic, I realize, but it's true.
No.
There's a huge, as we know, we've got to fight this as best we can, and I don't know the answers, but that's all.
No, but I think the point you're making is really big, and, you know, it's very interesting, but up in San Francisco, where my boys live, they do have, it's called the Center for Integrated Medicine. For anybody who lives up there, you might want to look into that. And it's amazing because what they do, like my younger son became suicidal ideation on an antidepressant, okay? So he cannot take antidepressants anymore, nor can he take any kind of medication. So I'm struggling right now because I need to get him to this place. It's expensive, and they don't take my insurance, or his, because he's got insurance as well. So I've got to, you know, get my ducks in a row to get him there. But what they do is they look at the mind, body, spirit. And it's not just about the psychotropic medications. It's what can we do? Because I'm a big holistic. I go to a holistic doctor. I'm huge into this. What can we do from a holistic standpoint that is going to help you get better at the same time? So their belief is we may have to start you off on this med, not my son because he can't be on meds, but we want to wean you off and be adding the other things that are going to help you get better. You know, hormone imbalance is a big thing, especially for women as they get older. And the bioidentical hormones are not the ones that the pharmaceutical companies are making. I'm sure I'm probably going to get shot tonight when I'm walking down the street. But, you know, I think the pharmaceutical companies are ridiculous, and they run this country. And I get crazy about this because there's so many side effects with so many of these medications that are out there. And I listen to the side effects on TV where they talk about death, and I go, would I take that medicine? I mean, you know, come on. So the bottom line is there are other ways to treat situations, I'm not saying that, you know, somebody who's severely depressed or somebody has very, very high anxiety or bipolar should come off their meds. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there are other ways to help with the meds to treat this that are holistic ways, and it's food. I mean, I'm a pescatarian. I'm off gluten. I'm off dairy. I don't eat meat, and I'm feeling so much better since I did no sugar at all. I'm feeling so much better since I've done that in my life. You know, both my husband and I eat that way. So food is a big factor. It really is. Exercise is a big factor. You know, supplements and, you know, remedies and things like that can be powerful. But again, in the U.S., you've got to have money to do this because a lot of times insurance companies will not cover that.
And, you know, that just made me think of something, too, which has been sort of a, not a pet peeve, maybe, I don't know if that's the right term, but frustrating, where there are all these remedies, all these food, what's the latest thing to pay attention to? But, and I'm sure, you know what, Dr. Charles, oh, geez, what's his name? He's, I should have his email
Barkley
in front of me. No, Dr. Chuck, is it Parker? Who talks about medication with ADHD? Charles Parker,
okay.
I believe.
Yeah,
Charles Barkley, I'm aware of as well.
Yeah.
What a profound YouTube video.
Yeah, he really is.
You know,
yeah.
Is there really a gift with ADHD? Where's the proof that we're gifted, and how do we get funding if we all go around saying we're gifted? Not putting
right
down what you're saying, because I believe it's true. I mean, just look at all the entertainment industry. But, oh, geez, I got to keep my point here. I think it's just. What's my point again? I'll ask you.
It was about meds.
I didn't finish it.
Because I was talking about holistic.
Oh, right. Yeah. You know what? I would love, and I'm just going to say this, maybe I'm lazy. I don't know. But you know what? We have enough to think about with all the pressure. And again, it's not an excuse, but all things are a conscious choice. I get that. But all the pressure we've got, we've been bombarded into the latest cell phones, latest technology.
Right.
And it the pressure of being available 24/7, I've always been angry at that with society, a little bit angry.
I know,
I hate that.
You
know, not going to go to the clock tower or anything, but,
right.
You know,
right.
It is frustrating, right?
Right?
But we know we can't change it, I guess, or maybe we can. But the thing is, do I go out and buy the latest I'm not going to use the term I'm thinking of. The latest remedy, am I mindful from 1 to 2 p.m., and then I don't eat gluten all day, and then I do this and that and this? If I have three kids at home, and I'm just simply trying to keep up,
right,
you know, that
right.
That's the – but I love it. I love that, you know, I'm sure things are in nature that could solve some of this.
Well, but you know what? You see, here's what it is. Again, it brings us full circle because we have about – a little 12 minutes left, and it brings us full circle, or 8 minutes, I'm sorry, I'm ADHD, I can't read the clock, back to what we were talking about in the beginning, and that is habit, okay? So it can be very simple for people to eat the right way if they get into the habit, because believe me, I had an eating disorder, and I was 300 pounds at one time in my life. And so I, you know, lost the weight, and I kept it off, and then I learned this way of eating that helped my brain, because it really does help. If you get processed sugar, don't get anything else out. Just get the processed sugar out of your diet, and I promise you, not only will you feel better, but you will live longer, because sugar is a killer, and it's documented.
Right.
You can read it anywhere you want. It's not fat that's a killer. It's the sugar that's the killer, because you put the two of those things together and you're done. So, I mean, I'm just saying, I've done research on this stuff, and I get the fact that people have busy lives and everybody's running around and kids are going to school and people are going to work, but you can do this if you put it in your life and you do it as a habit
and
you do it every single day.
Important.
Yeah, it is important. It really, it's just as important as medication, as mindfulness, as everything that you do, the exercising, this is all a process, and we all have to change everything about our lives in general and how we do things to get to that better place. But,
right.
You know,
yeah,
I agree.
Components, yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with you. People are very busy. I know that. But I was very busy too, and I'm still very busy, but I have tons of energy because of mindfulness and the way I eat now versus dragging myself
right.
home because I was eating the wrong food and not staying in the moment and spinning in the future and running to the past and depressed in the past. And, you know, and that's okay. That works for me. That I'm not telling everybody out there, you know, this is going to work for you the same way. If you work it, it's like AA, if you work it, it works. If you truly spend the time, it can work. And it's just like anything else. It's a habit. It's a habit that you take your medicine every morning. You take it
great point.
Mostly.
Yeah.
See? That's just part of what we have to. It's difficult for us sometimes to do things that are rote because we forget. I think the funniest thing I've ever done in my life is say to people, I forget to take my medication when I was on meds. You know, that's really funny because I forget to take my medication that helps me to remember to take my medication. But it's really funny when you think about it, but this is the kind of thing that we do, and then we push back and say, I can't do that. See, I tell people that I work with, Jeff, get that word can't out of your vocabulary. Get it out of your vocabulary.
Right.
Put the word won't in. Very different. I won't do that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But I can do that. Yeah.
And I love that. I love that, too. It is everyone's, while I'm also thinking, everyone's got their own way of doing it. So, you know, obviously. But, sometimes a good choice is a good choice, and a not good choice is a not good choice. Not that I'm telling people what to eat or anything else. I mean, I'm sure there's research. But I also realize I'm not going to try to, you know, I guess it's maybe in the way I come across my messages, you know, trying to be more gentle, offer things that have worked for me as you're doing, as they've worked for you clearly with food. That's a profound
story. Right, and you know what
right
I like to do is,
you know,
I like to listen to other people tell me what's worked for them. And the way I became, was a vegan at first and then pescatarian because I really needed more protein, so I added fish in there, and I'm eating the right kind of fish because people tell me, you know, what about mercury? And yeah, okay. Well, I'm being really careful about the kind of fish I eat. But I listened to people tell me. I listened to people talk about how differently their lives were. And I happen to be a person that has a lot of allergies, so this was a good thing for me. Mm-hmm. And again, I am not telling everybody out there, okay, everybody's got to become a pescatarian. What I am saying is that do some research, do some reading, and if you're having difficulty breathing, if you're having difficulty with anxiety, really high anxiety, and you're saying, gee, this is interesting because my anxiety came way down. My OCD went away not only with the mindfulness but also my diet. It's very interesting. I had really bad OCD. It's gone.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, see, there are things that you can research that people can find out. And if it works for you, fine.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, throwing it out there, because I think it's important for people.
Oh, it's awareness.
Yeah.
It's awareness.
Absolutely.
I'm all for that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Couldn't be more with you on that one. Awareness is the
key. Hey, listen,
key,
this I can't believe we're already done with the time. I just got a notice that we had 90 seconds. But this is really great. This time went by so fast, and I'd love to have you on again. So if you would keep in touch with me and let me know when your book is being published, I'd love to have you on for that. That would be awesome. Be great.
Yeah, absolutely. We're in the midst of preparing. The first half of the proposal is stellar right now. It's gone very well. So we're hoping it will as well grab the publisher like it's grabbed people that I've given it to so far, shown it to, which has only been a few people. But would it, at the end here, would it be okay to do a shameless plug for my blog? Justine?
Right ahead, please.
Okay, I realized that I hadn't mentioned it. So for anyone who's like, what's this guy's website? Who is he? It's www.adultadhdblog.com.
Okay, terrific.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. And, you know, I want everybody to go read it. I've read your blog. It's wonderful. And, you know, your private Facebook page, thank you for adding me there. But listen, I have to hang up because they're going to cut us off. But listen, you have a great Sunday, and I will we'll have you on soon. Okay, Jeff, thanks for being on.
And thank you to everyone. May I say thank you from my heart, everybody, and anything I can do to help anyone out there, just let me know.
Thank you, Jeff. We all appreciate that. Myself as well.
Okay.
Take care.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.